Shalom! Holy Scriptures and Israel is a ministry designed to share with the Jewish people the good news of the Lord Jesus, Yeshua the Messiah, and to instruct Christians on the Jewish roots of their faith. And now, teaching God's Word from a Hebrew Messianic perspective, here is Gideon Levitam.
Shabbat Shalom. We are studying the book of Ezra. Please turn with me to Ezra chapter 9. Ezra was this godly man. And as we continue on in our study, we'll find out something that really hurt the heart of Ezra when he found out what kind of condition existed in Israel when he had arrived. So please follow me as I'm reading those verses for us all today, beginning with verse 1, Ezra 9 and verse 1. Now when these things were done, the princes came to me saying, the people of Israel and the priests and the Levites have not separated themselves from the people of the land, doing according to their abomination, even of the Canaanite, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Jebusites, the Ammonites, the Moabites, the Egyptians, and the Amorites. For they have taken of their daughters for themselves and for their sons, so that the holy seed have mingled themselves with the people of those lands. Yea, the hand of the princes and rulers has been chief in this trespass. And when I heard this thing, I rent my garment and my mantle, and I plucked off the hair of my head and of my beard, and sat down astonished. Then were assembled unto me every one that trembled at the word of the God of Israel, because of the transgression of those that had been carried away. And I sat astonished until the evening sacrifice. And at the evening sacrifice I arose up from my heaviness, and having rent my garment and my mantle, I fell upon my knees and spread out my hands unto the Lord my God, and said, O my God, I am ashamed and blush to lift up my face to thee, my God. For our iniquities are increased over our head, and our trespasses is grown up unto the heavens. Since the day of our fathers, we have been in a great trespass unto this day, and for our iniquities have we, our kings and our priests, been delivered into the hand of the kings of the land, to the sword, to captivity, and to the spoil, and to the confusion of face, as it is this day. And now for a little space, grace has been showed from the Lord our God to leave us a remnant, to escape and to give us a nail in his holy place, that our God may lighten our eyes and give us a little reviving in our bondage. For we were bondmen, yet our God has not forsaken us in our bondage, but has extended mercy unto us in the sight of the kings of Persia, to give us a reviving, to set up the house of our God, and to repair the desolation thereof, and to give us a wall in Judah and in Jerusalem. And now, O our God, what shall we say after this? For we have forsaken thy commandments, which thou hast commanded by thy servants the prophets, saying, the land unto which ye go to possess it is an unclean land with the filthiness of the people of the lands, with their abomination, which have filled it from one end to another with their uncleanness. Now therefore give not your daughters unto their sons, neither take their daughters unto your sons, nor seek their peace or their wealth forever, that ye may be strong and eat the good of the land and leave it for an inheritance to your children forever. And after all that is come upon us for our evil deeds and for our great trespass, seeing that thou, our God, hast punished us less than our iniquity deserve, and hast given us such deliverance as this, should we again break thy commandments and join in affinity with the people of these abominations? Wouldn't not thou be angry with us till thou hadst consumed us, so that there should be no remnant, no escaping? O Lord God of Israel, thou art righteous, for we remain yet escaped as it is this day. Behold, we are before thee in our trespasses, for we cannot stand before thee because of this. An amazing chapter, this ninth chapter of Ezra. Now, if you just visualize what happened here, we have this second group of Jewish people arriving to the land of Israel after so many years that they have been in Babylon. Ezra is this leader of the group, about 2,000 individuals, and that they have finally arrived to Jerusalem. He was so happy to join the early group, about 50,000 of them that went earlier, some 70 years earlier, when he arrived to the land, to the city of Jerusalem, to the temple. He rested for 3 days, and on the fourth day he came and he gave all the silver and the gold and the vessels that he brought from Babel to the leaders of Israel, and then he received that very, very sad news. And what we learned from there, and we can apply it to ourselves here, is a group that have left the world, Babel. They have come all the way to Jerusalem and they establish the temple and its service and its principles that God had gave the people of Israel. And you would say, well, we are no longer in the world, we are no longer in Babel, we are right where we belong, in Jerusalem, in the land of Israel, around the temple. We can begin to worship the Lord in the right way. And then things change. Something have happened there. It crept in that drew the very remnant who left the world, who left Babel, and now around the temple in Jerusalem, and things have crept in, and things have been presented to Ezra when he had arrived. And so this ninth chapter divides itself into 3 sections. The first section is verses 1 and 2. We see Ezra receive a report about Israel's sin. In verses 3 to 5, Ezra reacts to Israel's sin, and we see what he does. And in verses 6 to 15, Ezra prayer to the Lord on behalf of his people, whom he loves so much, the people of Israel. The first point is Ezra receive a report in verse 1. That Israel did not separate themselves from the nations that were right there around them in the city of Jerusalem and in the land of Canaan, the land of Israel. It says here in verse 1, now when these things were done, the princes came unto me. This is unto Ezra. He says, the people of Israel and the princes and the Levites have not separated themselves from the people of the land, doing according to their abomination. Ezra, you came all the way from Babel. You have left everything there because you wanted to come to the place where God's name is set in Jerusalem, in the temple there, to enjoy the things of the Lord. And when he finally have arrived, what does he hear? That the early group that have left years before him, already they begin to mingle with the nations of the world around them. Now, it is amazing. You would think, if you don't want to separate yourself from the people of the land, why did you take this 900-mile trip to Jerusalem? Why didn't you stay in Babel? It's far better for you because there you had all the people of Babylon there around you. There you could have had whatever you want to do. You don't need to go all the way to the city of Jerusalem and there to mingle yourself and to not separate yourself from the nations around. You see, what happened is someone, beloved brothers and sisters, can be in a right place, but with a wrong spiritual condition. Someone can be right in the city of Jerusalem, in the temple, and yet with a wrong practices in his or her life. And they haven't separated themselves from the people of the land. Now, God said this to our forefathers, our Jewish people, long time ago. He gave a warning to the people of Israel. Israel, I know what's going to happen to you if you are not going to submit to me. I'm giving you a head start warning before you even go into the land. Israel, you are going to come into the land of Canaan. This land is filled with nations that worship other gods. And if you are not going to separate yourself from this nation, you will see what's going to happen to you, Israel. They're going to draw you after them. They're going to pull you, beguile you to follow after their God. You're going to end up worshiping their God instead of worshiping me. Israel, I'm giving you these warnings before you go into the land. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 34. After Israel have built the golden calf, then Moses gave them a warning. Look what he said to them. We read in verse 11 of Exodus chapter 34, it says, "There observe thou that which I commanded thee this day. Behold, I drive out from before thee the Amorite, the Canaanite, the Hittite, the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusite." This is long before they even arrive into the land. In fact, this is almost 40 years before Israel have entered into the land. The beginning of the journey. God, through Moshe Rabbeinu, Moses, the lawgiver, said to Israel in verse 12, "Take heed to yourself, lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of this land, whither thou goest, lest it be for a snare in the midst of thee. But ye shall destroy their altars, break down their images, cut down their groves." Verse 14, "Thou shalt not worship no other god, for the Lord whose name is jealous, is a jealous God." God is jealous over his people Israel, whom he loves so much, as a husband is jealous over his own wife. Israel, the wife of Jehovah. Just similar to you, beloved brothers and sisters, and I, as believers in the Messiah today, as the bride of Christ, the bride of the Messiah, Yeshua the Messiah is jealous of his own people. And so notice what it says in verse 15, "Lest thou make covenant with the inhabitants of the land, and they go a-whoring after their gods, and do sacrifice unto their God, and one call thee, and thou eat of his sacrifice, and thou take their daughters for thy sons, and their daughters go a-whoring after their God, and make thy sons to go a-whoring after their God. Thou shalt make thee no molten god." You see, God gave to Israel long before they have entered into the land these warnings. Now go to Deuteronomy chapter 7. 40 years later, he gave them an additional warning in Deuteronomy chapter 7. And there, just before Israel enter into the promised land, in Deuteronomy chapter 7 verses 1 to 4, he give them to the next generation another warning before they enter into the promised land. And it says in chapter 7 and verse 1 of the book of Deuteronomy, "When the Lord thy God will bring thee into the land, whither thou goest to possess it, and has cast out many nations before thee, the Hittite, the Girgashite, the Amorites, the Canaanite, the Perizzite, the Hivites, the Jebusite, seven nations greater and mightier than thou, And when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them, neither shalt thou make marriage with them. Thy daughter thou shalt not give unto his son, neither his daughter shalt thou take unto thy son. Why? Verse 4. For they will turn away thy son from following me, that they may serve other gods. So will the anger of the Lord will be kindled against you and destroy thee utterly. You see, beloved brothers and sisters, the warning had been given after so many years in Babel. You remember in Psalm 137, they have sung earlier, by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down and we wept when we remember Zion. There those that took us captive said unto us, sing unto us one of Zion's songs. And you remember there, because they couldn't sing, they said, how shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? And now finally God had brought them into the promised land, into Jerusalem, the city, building the temple right in the midst. And Ezra finally arrived a few years later when he finds Israel have not separated themselves from the people of the land. And not only that, they did according to the abomination of the people of the land. So you may ask yourself the question, what's the use? Why don't you stay in Babel? Why come to Jerusalem? In other words, if we will apply this to us as believers today in the body of Messiah, well, why come to an assembly or a local congregation when the Bible is being taught, when you don't want to learn and to grow and to get closer to the Lord? You far better stay in the world. Stay outside. Why return to the principle that are taught in the Bible and not seek with the help of the Lord to follow those instructions? How sad, how grieved it was to the heart of the Lord. And you know, brothers and sisters, we don't blame and look at our people of all the people of Israel, because this is existing in our very own hearts. Our hearts are just the same. We can be in the right meeting or in the right, what we call church gathering, but our hearts can be in the wrong condition. Our spiritual state can be rather sad. Do you remember there was a man by the name of Eutychus? We read of him in the book of Acts when the apostle Paul, Shaul, was preaching. Eutychus was inside in the meeting hall, but he was sitting on the window. He was listening to the apostle Paul, to Shaul, but then later his mind was outside and he ended up falling from the third loft. In other words, his body was in, but his heart was out. And this is how our hearts can be when we don't get stirred up by the Spirit of God. If we are not in tune with the Lord, we can be in a right place, but with a wrong spiritual condition. Turn for a second to Hosea chapter 11 to show us the inclination of the human heart. The Lord said to our people Israel of old, he said in chapter 11 and verse 7, my people are bent to backsliding from me. God said this about Israel, and as might as well he can say it about you and I today. We so quickly are being backsliding from that which the Lord would want us to enjoy in fellowship with him. And so Ezra arrived finally to the land of Israel, to the city of Jerusalem, and he gets this report about the people that should have been there enjoying the Lord, but they didn't. They haven't separated themselves, and even more, they began to act and do the things that the people of the land were doing. One more verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, in verse 11 and 12, we often make a reference to this when we study the Brit HaChadashah, the New Testament, about the things that happened to our forefathers, the people of Israel. And here the Apostle Paul, Shaul, is saying, all these things happen unto them, namely Israel. Why it happened unto them, and what's the lesson? It's become an example, and they are written for our admonition. upon whom the end of the age are come. You see, the thing that happened to Israel historically had been put in the record in the Hebrew scriptures to help us as believers today to be admonished. And then it says in verse 12, wherefore let him the thing that he stand take heed, lest he fall. Don't you think for a moment that whatever was written about Israel were written in order for you to criticize Israel and to say, that could never happen unto me. The lesson it is applying to me, because I am just the same. I have the same old nature like Israel of old, like every Israeli, every believer in Yeshua the Messiah have the same sinful nature, and we are able to do the very same thing. And notice he lay before us the name of these countries. The Canaanites, Knanim, Chivites, Chivim, the Perizzites, Perazim, the Jebusites, Yevusim, the Ammonites, the Ammonim, the Moabites, the Moavim, the Egyptian, Mitzriim, and the Amorites, the Amorim. Those are the same list that were given in Exodus chapter 34 and the book of Deuteronomy in chapter 7. They began to mingle with the nations of the world, and they have happened to do the things that they do. It's one thing for us to fall. It's another thing for us to carry on this kind of a lifestyle. It's one thing for a believer to stumble and to fall, to confess it and to repent it before the Lord and to get up and to continue to follow the Lord. It's another thing to begin to live this kind of lifestyle and to do just what these nations have done. It grieved the heart of God. It grieved the heart of Ezra, the servant of the Lord. What an example we see here in Ezra. So notice that. While in verse 1, Israel did not separate themselves from the nations of the world, the emphasis in verse 2 is that they not only didn't separate, they did exactly the opposite in verse 2. They mingle themselves with the nations of the world. In other words, you could see no difference now between the Israeli individual, which was chosen by God, and the nations of the world, the nations around them, which worshipped idols and other gods. And so we read, listen what happened. Look what God is pointing out here in the second verse. It says here, for they have taken of their daughters for themselves and for their sons. And notice it says, so that the holy seed have mingled themselves with the people of those lands. Yea, the hand of the princes and the rulers have been chief in this trespass. So while the emphasis in verse 1 is they did not separate, the emphasis in verse 2 is they actually have mingled themselves with the nations. They took their daughters for their sons, they gave their sons for their daughters, and instead of drawing others to believe in the God of Israel, they ended up to be drawn away from the God of Israel to worship the idols of the nations of the world. And you notice this expression here, the holy seed. In Hebrew, it's Zera HaKodesh, that is the holy seed, the one that is set apart. You see, Israel is always called in Scripture a holy nation. The word holy means set apart, mekudash, set apart to the Lord. Israel as a nation were called to be a set apart nation for the Lord himself. You can read it in Exodus 19 verse 6. Ye are a holy nation. In chapter 22 verse 31 of Exodus as well. You should be a holy people unto me. So now the seed of holiness end up to be mingling with the nations of the world. And instead of drawing them unto the God of Israel, they end up to be drawn away from the God of Israel, and they begin to worship their gods. You and I sometimes think, you know what? I'm strong enough. I can do it on my own. I'm going to make sure that I'm going to lead somebody else to the Lord. And we end up kind of beginning to mix ourselves with others, to go to places we shouldn't go, to practice things we shouldn't practice. And it does not take too long, and we find ourselves in no time, no longer in the same spiritual condition we used to be when we first began with the Lord. You agree with me, right? You know very well how it can happen unto us as believers in Yeshua the Messiah. Sometimes you hear statements such as this, "Oh no, don't worry, the Lord will protect me and I'm able to take care of myself." And we end up exposing ourselves to that which we shouldn't be exposing ourselves. And it doesn't take too long and we end up to be drawn away from the things of the Lord. Beloved brothers and sisters, when God gave the warning to Israel, He knew why. When God gave the warning to the body of Mashiach, the believers in Yeshua the Messiah, any one of us who is parents or who had been child of a parent who gave us warning know very well that listening to the word of God will preserve us from such a mess that we can fall into if we're not listening to the word of God. Turn with me to Romans chapter 12. The apostle Paul, Shaul, in chapter 12 and verses 1 and 2, he said, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God." You see, Shaul, Paul, writing to the Roman believers, he called them achim, brethren, because they were his achim, his brothers and sisters in Yeshua the Messiah. He said to them, "Brethren, listen, I appeal to you on the basis of the mercies of God. Present yourself. Yield your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable or spiritual or intelligent service."
You have been listening to the Holy Scriptures and Israel with Gideon Levitan. Gideon teaches God's Word from a Hebrew messianic perspective. For more information about this ministry, write to Holy Scriptures and Israel, Box 1411, Niagara-on-the-Lake, Ontario, L0S1J0, or visit our website at holyscripturesandisrael.com. You are also invited to Gideon's weekly Bible teaching on Fridays at 11 a.m. and 7 p.m. and Saturdays at 1 p.m. at Willowdale Christian Assembly Hall, 28 Martin Ross Avenue in Toronto. Holy Scriptures and Israel is made possible by your prayers and financial support. If you would like to support the program, visit holyscripturesandisrael.com. God bless you. Shalom, shalom.